Hallelujah. Good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. It's more than October 31st, 2019, where some will celebrate Halloween today. It is still the Lord's day. And we will rejoice and be glad in it. I dare tell you that we're going to have a short call this morning. You know, that's like a running joke that I say short call and we'll be on for the full time. But we'll see. Let us pray. Father God, the author and the finisher of our faith, we thank you, Father God, for this Thursday morning, Lord God, this day. We come to you humbly asking for forgiveness of our sins and our dead works, Lord God. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that our meditation is on you, our focus is looking in your direction, doing what you have ordained for us to do. Father God, we pray in the name of Jesus that no one on this call connected with us shall miss what you're doing in the land today and what you're saying to the body, the church. Father, we thank you that we are kingdom citizens. Father, we thank you that we're in this world, but not of this world. And so certain rules and regulations we don't have to abide by, one being death itself. We thank you that Jesus died, buried, and was resurrected for us, that we can live in eternity with you. We thank you, Lord God, that no weapon formed against our minds, our memories, our bodies shall prosper, Lord God. Father God, we ask in the name of Jesus that we meet every appointment being placed today, Father God. Forgive us for wasting our time and our energy on trivial things, Lord God, things that can rust away, things that have no value, Lord God. Thank you for being Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Hallelujah unto your name. Father, in your word, you have already told us that we are kings and priests. You've called us that. Father, forgive us for living life as jesters, Lord God, as common folk, as beneath bottom dwellers, Lord God. We thank you that we are first and not the last, Lord God. We thank you that we are kings and priests, Lord God. Forgive us for our thinking, for thinking less of us, thinking less of our calls, thinking less of our assignments, Lord God, not valuing what you've done for us, and appreciating what you've already done for us, Lord God. Father, we ask for peace that surpasses all understanding. Peace in the name of Jesus. Peace in our minds. Peace in our hearts. Peace in our homes, Lord God. Hallelujah. Father God, we ask that you have your way. Thank you for going before us today, making every rough area smooth and every crooked way straight. It is in the wonderful name of Jesus the Christ that we pray. Amen and amen. I have a few points I want to just touch on this morning. In the past, we have prayed that and have declared that we are interruptions in the bloodline of whether it's disease or curses or what have you, that we have that has been severed from our bloodlines. I've declared that I hope you have declared that over your life and over your children's lives, that you know, diseases, doctors, scientists, you know, they say that certain diseases, certain diseases were in our bloodline, and they jump sometimes to different generations within the bloodline. And it's hopefully you was on the call when we prayed that we were interruptions, that it stops these curses, these diseases, and this stuff, that divorce is stopped, this abuse, whether it's child abuse, whether it's sexual abuse or whatever, that we have became the interruption in the bloodline. We've stopped that. And that was very, that was a pivotal moment in your prayer life, in your life, especially for your bloodline and for those that have came and that shall come after you. Those prayers are very important. But I was thinking over the last couple of days, there's one other thing that we need to do, and that is to repent. We need to repent. See, we can stop it. We can stop divorce. We can stop diseases. We can stop curses, you know, from proceeding past us and not even not affecting us. And we can stop it, right? Which we did if you pray those prayers. And if you haven't, I suggest that you do. But now I think, just thinking about it, I think we need to repent for those that were up our bloodline, that added to the curses, that practice witchcraft or voodoo or whatever, anything that's not of God. It was wonderful for us to be the interruption in the bloodline. But let's also, and I know Jesus died for us and he washed away our sin, but see, there still can be unrepented sin. Unrepented sin can go on if you don't repent from it. Someone can have unrepented sin up the chain or up in our bloodline that it was never repented for. So yes, we stopped it, but there still can be some residue. So we got to just do this quick prayer. And, you know, share some of this stuff that we discuss and pray about to people around you. You know, ask them, have they ever considered this? If you know somebody that has their mama and them, their grandmama and them, their great-great-great-great-great-grandmama and them, then had some, been through divorce, you know, and you in your having a relationship or building relationships, when you have these interactions with people and they might share with you something to that effect, then you may want to, I suggest you share with them these kind of prayers that will free them in their bloodlines. And if you don't have the nerve to share this with them, which you should not have the nerve, but if you pray it for them, then. And I'm going to tell you why it's important. It's still significant if you pray it for them, whether they know it or not. But see, we're supposed to be teaching people. We're supposed to be discipling nations. What I'm sharing with you is not just for you. It's not just for us to get fat on at the table of knowledge, but it's to share it because that's a part of the making disciples. You're sharing your knowledge, your wisdom, your prophetic insight into something that someone may have never considered. We don't have these teachable moments and these prayers and these calls just for us. This stuff is meant to be shared. And that is a key component of disciple making. is to share wisdom, knowledge, prophetic insight. I've said this time and time again, I will continue to say it. We may be the only Christ that people see. Now that's that right there. I can just preach right there. Let me just go ahead and let's examine that right there just for a moment. Oh, we looking like we're going to be here for a full 30 minutes. So we are to be, we may be the only Christ that people see. So get this. So you have to determine where you are in your life. At what part are you playing in the evolution, if you would allow me to use that, of Jesus? Are you Jesus alive and walking? Are you dead? Or are you resurrected? Man, write that at a teach. At what point are you? Birth, burial, resurrection. Are you in the life stage? Are you dead in the tomb? Are you operating as a Christ, the risen King? Now that's a lot of nuggets in there, so I'm gonna not even go any further than that, but that's something. I think you ought to ask yourself today, where are you? Where, my Lord? Where, my Lord? Man, that's good. See, when you Christ, be Christ is not, we already know this. Y'all educated people. You know Christ is not Jesus' last name. You know he is the Christ, the resurrected King, right? So, there's power in the resurrection. If you're operating in today Jesus or the Jesus prior to the resurrection, that's a different person. See, Jesus was just Jesus when he was alive. Still the Son of God, still God in this earth suit. It's an earthen vessel, still God now. However, Jesus was not the Christ until the resurrection. And there is power, there's authority once you die to yourself. Once you get past all of you, all your stuff, everything you want to do, your attitudes, the way we think, the way we see stuff, you know, our perception, the way we believe, people see us, all that stuff. Once we get past all that stuff, we die to flesh. We get past all our stuff. Once we get past all that, and we submit and we surrender, and we just go ahead and die and let God have his way. See, surrendering, Jesus surrendered. But listen to what he said. He said, you don't take my life. I lay my life down. He surrendered. When he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he was praying and the disciples were supposed to be praying, they were falling asleep, church folks. He said, he asked the Lord, he said, Lord, is there any other way? Can I fall down on a pen? Can I just scratch my toe and pass? Okay, he didn't say that. But he said, nevertheless, thy will be done. Jesus and his natural man didn't want to go through all the stuff he was about to go through. In the natural man. Just for a moment. But he was set on the course to show us. I believe he always was ready. I think really it was just a lesson. Not that he wasn't ready, but and he didn't want to do it. I think he knew his assignment. I think he did that to show us, nevertheless, not my will, Lord, but thy will be done. That if he can surrender, then we can surrender our lives too. And go ahead and take that death. Because if you die to yourself, your resurrection is guaranteed. You see, you walking in resurrection power. That's different from walking in Jesus' power prior to the grave. See, he didn't have the keys to life and death in his hands until after he died, after he surrendered himself. See, we still ain't at the surrendering stage. See, we still ain't got the John the Baptist yet. We ain't even got that far. We don't even want to go to the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights and suffer. So we got this, you know, this is a process that we got to go through that our flesh just does not want to go through. I was thinking about this morning. How people do not like rules. And one of the reasons why people do not like Christianity is because there are rules. I've heard people say, I don't want to live with all those rules. The reason why they don't want to live with all those rules is because they want to do what they want to do, whatever that may be. So they don't want to follow rules. They want to be rebellious. Because that's what this flesh want to do. It rebels. I mean, it's your flesh. Adam messed it up. Listening to Eve, he messed up. Now, he still could have made that. He could have fixed it. He could have fixed it right then and there. But he didn't fix it. Adam messed up. He didn't fix it. Adam said, God was walking through the wilderness. I'm sorry, God was walking through the garden. He said, Adam, where are thou? Adam responded, well, pretty sure Adam didn't say nothing at first. He was scared. But he eventually responded and said, I'm here. I've hidden myself. He said, well, God said, well, why have you hidden yourself, Adam? Because I'm naked. And then God said, well, who told you you was naked? Told you. Then he said, it was your woman. And called me to fall. The woman you gave me. Man, Adam messed it up for all of us. So this flesh that we're in, hey, it comes with some flaws. But nonetheless, the second Adam, Jesus, the Christ, did what the first Adam could not do. Where the first Adam messed up, the second Adam corrected and completed the task. But because this body is still made of flesh, we can't use that as an excuse or reason on why we don't do the things we should be doing. The word tells us this. You've heard this. When I was a child, I thought as a child. But when I became mature, when I became, meaning from one, a transition was made from one state to another state. Jesus transitioned from Jesus to be Jesus the Christ, the resurrected King. Hallelujah. So we have to have rules. There are some rules that we have been given the authority and the privilege and the benefit to escape, death being one of them. You still got to die to flesh to live. That's, you die to live. You got to give to get. It's just a process, a principle. And it doesn't necessarily make it easy, my friends, but guess what? We still have to mature. You're not just saved for you. I'm not just saved for me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, let's have the word for today. The word for today. For today. Your desire to exhibit kindness toward those. I'm sorry. Your desire to exhibit kindness toward others do not include tolerating evil. I don't know why I'm off a little bit. Your desire to exhibit kindness toward others does not include tolerating evil. I got it together now. You must protect your heart and your mind from all manner of evil. You must protect your heart and mind from all manner of evil. I'm going to pause just for a second. I sometimes ask people if the devil was having a buffet, a dinner, and if he invited you to dinner, would you go? I ask, you know, would you, if the devil was having dinner, would you go? It's going to be a buffet. Would you go? And people respond, no, they wouldn't go. So I ask, well, why wouldn't you go? They said, because it's the devil. So, see, if they think about it as it being the devil, then they see, okay, it's something we won't be a part of. But because the adversary masks himself in certain things, people tend to miss it. And you can see this if you trace the roots of what is the meaning and the origin of Halloween. People don't think that Halloween have anything to do with pagans, so it's okay. They'll go. They'll be a part of. They'll interact because they don't see it as being related to any evil or pagan worship. So it's okay. It's good. But what I just said was you must protect your heart and your mind from all manner of evil. Turn away from things that do not emanate from my spirit, both externally and internally. Says the Lord, make every effort to be righteous in all things, says the Lord. Our scripture for the day is Ephesians 4:39 through 30. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impact grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. In other words, do good and not harm. Be mindful of your words to other people. Be mindful that, hey, sometimes they just don't know no better. Sometimes they do. Sometimes they just don't know any better. Make sure you close any doors in your life that may allow evil to enter in, whether it's in your mind, whether it's in your daily process. And pray for this. As a matter of fact, I'm going to pray for the younger generations of young adults. I've been in prayer about what's going on, why is it so many young adults do not want to do anything, anything, don't want to go nowhere, don't want to socialize, don't want to work. They want to steal from other people that's working, going out here and working 40, 80 hours a week, but don't want to do, don't want to work. I mean, it's just, don't want to obey laws. It's just something going on, some kind of spirit in the land. I also continue to pray for this country. Pray for this country. Do not let your political view cloud your judgment. Don't let your political conversations cloud your judgment. Because we are Christians. So we say we are Christians above all else. During election time, I usually tweet Christ before party. Our vote should represent what we believe. Now that's good. Our vote should represent what we believe. Speaking of that, I'm gonna close on. Well, I'm gonna say this, and I'm gonna close. So, last weekend, Vice President Joe Biden was at a Catholic church, and he was denied communion. They would not let him partake of communion. And they asked, well, why can't, you know, Joe Biden, the vice president, you know, why can't he be there? Why can't he partake of communion? And the priest said that because Joe Biden is for abortions, then they did not want to, that particular priest said that he has a obligation to protect those parishioners that go and to represent who he represents, which is the church. And because Joe Biden supports abortion, he said that's not of God. And I'm changing the words as far as I'm using different words, but that's what he was ultimately saying, that that's not how we as believers should believe. And so he did not give Joe Biden the communion, wouldn't let him take it. So think about that. That's a little deep there. We'll talk about that a little bit later on today. But let's pray at 6:28 a.m. Father God, we ask for forgiveness of the sins of those that have been our blood, in our bloodline, that have partaked of any witchcraft, voodoo, anything that was not of you, that bad eating habits, Lord God, any disease, any spirits that they've entertained that was unholy, Lord God. We repent in the name of Jesus for them, all the way back up to Adam, Lord God, all the way back up to Adam. We repent in the name of Jesus for our bloodline, all the way back to Adam, Lord God. Any sins, unrepented things that they, doors that need to be closed, Lord God, we ask you to close them now in the name of Jesus. Any doors that are supposed to be open, we ask that you open them now in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Those which you have ordained. Father, we repent now in the name of Jesus for their sins and trespasses, Lord God, and their dead works. Father God, we pray for this nation. Keep your hand upon our President Donald Trump, Lord God, the people in the Senate and Congress and the different bodies of government, Lord God. We ask that your Holy Spirit continue to work through those men and women, Lord God. And we ask that your true believers come forward and run for public office, Lord God. We repent for, in the name of Jesus, for anything that the president, vice president, and his cabinets have done that was not of you and not ordained, Lord God, by you, in the name of Jesus. We ask that your hand be upon them. And Father God, we ask that you reveal the spirit that's in the land, that we may know how to strategically strike the enemy where he sleeps. Wow, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, bless everyone that's on this call that continue to be so faithful and to continue to sow seed into our ministry, Lord God, and those that pray for us and encourage us to keep moving, Lord God. Father, for we ask your will be done forever and ever. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you. You have a good day. Bye-bye.